Okay, we can see ourselves. That means we're ready to go. You guys hear me out there? Here we go. All right, good evening. Welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission for the 17th of February, 2017. Can I have the roll call, please? Sorry, 16.
Bennett?
Here.
Hart? Kapler?
Here.
Peters?
Here.
Rafferty?
Here.
Stoltenberg?
Here.
Wendland?
Here. Okay, we had minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of the December 16th minutes as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the last meeting. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. Okay. So again, welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission. We are a recommending body appointed by the City Council. We are here to review matters appropriate to plan and zone, site plans, use, things of the nature. I see a number of people in the audience tonight, so if you have a particular case that you'd like to submit some feedback for us, we'd love to hear it. There's a podium to your left and to my right back there. If you would, at the appropriate time when I acknowledge the folks in the audience, step forward, give us your name and interest in the case, we'd love to hear from you. So with that, we will begin. Greg.
Mr. Chairman, and I don't know if you guys were going to evaluate.
Oh, election of officers, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out of order tonight, so let me get back in order. We're going to review and approve the 2015 Plan and Zone Commission report for 2015. Is that Greg or Bill?
As usual, Lisa put and Greg put forth a lot of work in putting this annual report together. They always do a great job. What isn't noted in that report is all the extra time and effort that you guys put in last year in a comprehensive planning effort. So, I mean, that's much appreciated. And Greg will be able to answer any questions you have, any specific thing within the report.
I just want to thank Lisa for putting the report together, the graphics and all the stuff in here, and keeping track of this, because we went over it, and there are things that are jumping all around the page, it seems like, from month to month, so we figured it out, and she put this together, did a fine job on it. And we saw essentially not much difference between this year and last year. We have seen an increase, though, in these last 2 years relative to the prior three in 2011, 2012, 2013, I also believe 2010. So there's been a steady upward gradual movement in the amount of cases coming forward to us. The subdivisions seem to have more lots in them than they used to for preliminary and final plat, and then we've been getting a continuous steady flow of commercial and industrial, and it seems that that has continued since even 2008 and has made a steady flow all the way through up to the present. So that continues to increase, I think. But we've seen our share, I think, of a great deal of work that all the staff has played a role in here in evaluating, and the Development Review Committee as well as you and the City Council. So it's been a pretty good climb, I think, for everyone.
And we brought it up before, Greg, and I just want to state it again, I think, for myself on behalf of the Plan and Zone Commission, that I think we had a number of cases in 2015 that we saw great evidence of the cooperation between staff and the applicants to come out with some things that might have started not so pretty and ended up pretty nice. So I know that took a lot of work on everybody's part, and for us on the commission and those in the development, we appreciate that. So thank you. Anyone else from the commission?
Good job, Lisa.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the 2015 Planning and Zoning Commission annual report as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the 2015 Planning and Zoning Commission annual report. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The Zoning Commission annual report is accepted. Election of officers.
I think that's a very simple matter. I would like to nominate you to continue as the president, Roy.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any other recommendations or nominations from the floor? This job pays a lot, you know. Yeah. I would be honored to continue as the chairman, so I can't, can I create my own motion?
The motion, just
I think
call for it.
Yeah.
All right. All those in favor of Roy Wendland continuing as the chairman of the plan and zone, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No, opposing? Motion passes. Okay, thanks. All right, I already reviewed the commission of procedures, and we will now start with you, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, what we have coming forward to us tonight is a really large parcel which has been known as the Hellman property. And we have 53rd Avenue here, and we have Middle Road right here. And there's the roundabout at this location. The area outlined in red is essentially the area purchased by the developer, or is in the process of being purchased by the developer. This is the Genesis property right here on the corner. That's already in their hands. And this is individually owned, this parcel, this area with the farmstead. And this is the former landfill, which will be retained in ownership by the person conveying all of this area to the proposed developer. This is the existing land use map showing the Genesis ownership right here, showing office transitional. This again, the waste dump area, and the majority of this being traditional residential. There is a portion here that is office research campus. This is the in effect land use map as of today. This is essentially the area that we're looking at for commercial, and then there's an area below it that is designated, or it should say, is being petitioned to become a high density residential. C5 here, C1 here is what's anticipated. Land use map that will become effective once the zoning ordinance becomes effective shows a split again. UMI right here, which incorporates the C1 and R5 zoning classifications within its definition, essentially, and then the remainder here being traditional residential throughout much of this area. But again, we are using the future, or the, yeah, the future land use map of today. This is what is anticipated. So when you are viewing both of these, you're not really seeing a whole lot different. Now, for this area back in here, the consultant, I don't know that anybody on staff gave them indication at the end of Crow Creek Road that this area back in here was going to turn into medium density residential, given that this area down here has already been preliminarily platted as totally residential, and that on the prior land use map, there's nothing indicating medium density in this area, and also this area was pretty much designated as traditional residential on the old land use map. On the new one, UMI comes down to this point. In the past, we've gone off that future land use map, and we've also had probably, I would say, half a dozen people approach us since I've worked here, at least for now over 14 and a half years, that indicated that they wanted to do something similar to what was on the land use plan that came about in 2002. So it's meshing what the developers bringing us to this evening, to us this evening, is meshing with what we've seen in the past proposed to us. It's just that it's never come forward to this body, given the pricey aspects to the Hellman property. And what was being asked per acre was a very large sum. Finally, that price has come in more in line with what the developer locally can purchase. And Mr. Hellman has gone through the process before, and I think that there's more of a meeting of the minds. Once the Genesis property got sold, then the other property could probably come down in price somewhat, so that made it more affordable. But I also enclosed in the packet here this urban low intensity, urban medium intensity, and neighborhood commercial definitions, as these are the land uses that are most closely related to the sites that we're discussing under what would be the future newer land use map when that does become active.
Hey, Greg, since we're going through this process, does anybody have any questions so far? So we don't, Greg doesn't give the whole presentation and then you guys are trying to backtrack.
No, but I guess just maybe to state again for those in the audience and for the record, we're in the midst of a transitionary period here from one land use map that's currently in effect to one that's in process and we know is coming. So this is one of the first developments that we've had where it's, I'll call it in lack of a term, tweenerville. This is between plans. And so we're trying to recognize the validity of the old, yet not ignore the reality of the new. So it's going to be a little bit of a learning process for us as we go through it and for staff and for the developer. So with that in mind, bear with. And Bill, any comments you would have relative to that? But that's kind of the big picture as I see it.
That sums it up very succinctly. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
I just would like to make a question or clarify something. I think you mentioned that the one block was C1, the other zoning is R5, not C5. Is that correct?
This is R5. Yeah.
That, Greg, that's UMI, so that would be relative to maybe R4 in our current ordinance.
Yeah, the densities, I think, as we went through them, we could see that what he wants to do in R5, I think, from what Bill and I discussed, is that they correspond well enough so that that will fit in with the concept that the developer's giving us. But the uses that will go in there are going to be comparable to what you would see in the UMI.
Yeah, okay, very good.
Part of the changes that were introduced most recently to us involve creating a different street networking system within the development so that there's not connecting these two streets here or these here. The configuration is totally different, and even this now, this access has been changed. And as I go to the document, Cam, I just want to show here's what has been most recently proposed as of today to us. This is the commercial area that has been magnified and indicating the connectivity from 53rd Avenue, maintaining an entrance here into the multifamily area, and then a differing entrance into the commercial and then out the adjoining property over here in on Pandit Drive. This is a magnification of the concept offered to us of the commercial section. Overall, we will take a look at what this will look like for the entire 140-acre area. The area outlined down here is the proposed R2 area, which does not require a land use amendment. That area already meets the land use map, land use plan for this particular area. This area up here is the R5 area, and you've already got office transitional running up through this area right now. So this is being transitioned from that to the R5 and acting as a higher density area between the commercial here and the single-family residential here. The access, the way this is laid out, there will be one entry coming in here and one planned for here. So you've got connectivity through the area like this, essentially. So it can go this direction or up to 53rd Avenue. High-density residential right here. Proposed land use in lieu of office transitional, and this area up here is commercial proposed for C1 zoning. In evaluating these propositions, this is not the first time we've, as staff, been provided with a project like this. Again, it was a cost factor in past projects that were proposed to staff because of the acreage involved was the totality of this whole area that may have been the prohibiting factor for that to come about, because typically what we saw, what people wanted to develop was the commercial and then a certain part of the residential, and it was the difficulty, at least from what we had seen, that maybe absorbing the cost of the total acreage was the barrier. This piece got sold off individually, and this is most the prime ground is right here. So that may have made it more palatable for someone to come in afterward. Mr. Windmiller is the first person to come in and want to get this ground here. The first person who's met with staff that is actually coming in to get this piece after the Genesis piece had been sold. So a different set of circumstances, but a similar plan for proposal for commercial here, a higher density housing there, and then the remainder being single family. Staff, in looking at this proposal, would recommend approval, and there is also the understanding that this will be done under a contractual zoning for a portion of this, and I believe maybe our legal counsel can illuminate that far better than I can about what that procedure might entail.
I'd be happy to do so. So at a staff level, when we talked about these sort of in-between projects that come, what's the best way to evaluate those and move them forward? So what we've decided is, when a project comes in, obviously if it fits the current land use and the current zoning categories that we have, then that's fine, it can proceed. But for those projects that don't fit the current land use map but perhaps better fit the coming land use map, we would agree to conditionally rezone those areas, identify why we believe it's consistent with the future land use map, how we are evaluating the project to meet the density requirements, and tie a concept plan to that conditional rezoning to show that this is what the developer is intending, this is what staff has evaluated to determine that this meets the future design character area standards, and that is why we would conditionally rezone the property. So for the R5 area and the C1 area, that is what we have discussed with the developer, and they are in agreement with that proposal, and that will be worked out between this meeting and the City Council approval.
And if I can expound on that, any developer between now and the time that we complete our ordinance that is willing to come in and sign a conditional zoning agreement saying that they'll meet the requirements of the new comprehensive plan will be happy to entertain their project. So this is how we're going to be looking at things on this scale from now until August, September, October, I think, when we're ready to have an ordinance adopted.
So essentially the developer is contractually agreeing to be bound by the new land use map, even though it hasn't officially been implemented yet.
And that will not cause any delays in their project?
No, it should not.
So it doesn't put them in a holding pattern, or as long as they agree to the terms and the contract and compliance with the future land use and...
State code says they have to sign the conditional zoning agreement before it's considered by the City Council.
So just for clarification then, what's it conditioned upon, or is that a phrase that's referring? I heard contractual, I heard conditional. So just
so the document will attach the concept plan to it, so it will say this is the concept that has been evaluated by staff. We agree that this meets the, you know, design character area standards for mm-hmm. density and that type of thing. The developer agrees that this is the concept that will be developed, and agrees to be bound by these new regulations.
We're tying this to table 1.1 in the comprehensive plan, if you want to take a look at that.
So that'll be evaluated during the preliminary plat and final plat stages,
right, so
to see if that is actually...
To confirm that it's developing the way that it was presented initially, yes.
And does it ever change from conditional to confirmed or final then through that process? Because it starts as conditional. Does it remain?
after everything's approved, it really doesn't matter.
It's moot at that point.
Then it's permanent.
It's approved, okay.
Right.
Up until, all right. A little confusing, but I'm with you directionally, so, okay.
How binding is the, are the concept plans if something changes, if they want to, you know, for whatever, modify that concept plan, how much leeway do they have?
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Or do we have?
What Table 1.1 is going to do is basically tie them, the zoning will tie them to a specific type of use.
Mm-hmm.
C1, and just for your edification, in the committee level, we're discussing combining C1 uses and C5 uses because they're both so closely mm-hmm. entwined when we go with the new ordinance. So we're kind of considering that. So it's going to make sure that the types of uses that are allowed in the C1 are okay. There is a floor area ratio in Table 1.1 that says they have to meet. So this, in review of what they're proposing here, staff says this meets it. If they want to come in and build this building, that's not going to meet it. So they're tied to specific requirements as far as floor area ratio, types of uses.
And the way that I foresee the agreement being structured is that, you know, the concept plan will identify the road network, the basic overall layout of the development, but the understanding is that, you know, specific building sizes might change slightly, lot sizes might change slightly, but the developer agrees to meet the density requirements, the floor area ratios, all of that, and to abide by sort of the overall concept. So that hopefully there does allow some flexibility, but you know, lock in the regulations.
Yeah, if they want to restructure some of these buildings but on the lot. That's
I just want to know how much we have to be aware, how much do we have to look at the concept plan, because are we in a sense also approving a preliminary plat? I mean, that's where, because, you know, I may not particularly like the way it's laid out, or, you know, I may not particularly like the amount of, I think should have more landscaping, or, you know, something. Do we still have the ability to make those recommendations that we would have later on?
Each one of these buildings, if they come in one at a time, will require a site development plan review through Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council.
And we still have the ability to make changes that we would normally have?
Absolutely.
Okay. Fine. Good.
Anyone else?
Yeah, so under that scenario, the first five buildings come in and their floor plans are considerably smaller than that. That means the next building or the last building is going to have to be really big?
No, because you do it based on per lot.
Okay.
So let's go back and look at the individual lots we have here. So the floor area ratio is relative to the lot size.
Okay, thank you.
So they have to make that floor area ratio fit within the specific lots.
Okay.
One more question. This is more of a land use. On the proposed land use designation, I notice that the R5 is right against the traditional residential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there any thought of, at this time, putting some type of a buffer area in there?
There is, and we've talked to the developer about that. You can see that they're swapping a little bit of ground here
mm-hmm.
with Genesis. And that's so they can take advantage of some areas. They're talking 12, 14-foot high berm there. This street layout with two cul-de-sacs may ultimately turn into just a circle street down here. They're talking detention here, and that gives them the ability to come in here with a high berm and buffer this multifamily from the single family. These are extra deep lots for the residential in this area. They're talking about a berm 30 foot wide, 14 foot, 15 foot high. So they are cognizant of that.
And, you know, I'm not going to lie to you, we actually kind of tried to lead them into connecting the commercial to the residential, because that's basically what our plan had proposed.
Mm-hmm.
And they acquiesced to that, and I...
No, I...
From a staff standpoint, I think that's a good thing.
No, I think that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I'm just trying to head off issues down the road with commercial next to residential, which we've been fighting for years. And now, if we're changing the land use, do we want to go ahead and put a land use along that north side of that road? I can't read it. It's too small, but that would be some type of office, traditionally office transitional, or, you know, R3 or something,
right,
so that the people that have the R2, R1 have some type of a zoning buffer, not
right,
just a berm.
So we're kind of doing this on the fly, because we haven't hit that portion of our ordinance,
yeah, I know,
development yet. So, but again, all of this commercial and the multifamily will require site plan review prior to that being developed. So we're going to get multiple looks at these things.
Okay.
Bill, I have a question. It's indirectly related to this. There have been several references to the prior landfill site.
Yeah.
So now we're looking at development that's starting to surround that area. And I realize there's inherent a lot of issues related to that. And again, it's not what we're talking about tonight, but long term, what's the future of that parcel? What happens?
Well, I think the developer has done his due diligence. He certainly wasn't going to buy property and develop high-end homes next to something that he was concerned with. The problem with that ground being a former landfill is you can't build on it. You can't really do much of anything with it except maintain it. So Mr. Hellman has agreed to hang on to that. That property, correct me if I'm wrong, Christine, has been offered to the city a few times.
Yes.
Yes. So, but it's going to remain in the hands of the current property owner at this point in time.
Okay.
To bootstrap on that, Bill, where will the access point be to that once it's built around?
You've got right here, coming in off the end of the cul-de-sac.
And then at the very northern part of the screen we're seeing right now, does that line up with Crow Creek Road to the east?
It will eventually. There's a little bit of right-of-way that has to be taken care of. If you recall, when Mr. Seitz developed Wyndham Hills, and he's got Wyndham West currently under development, that part of the development agreement was he was to give us $62,500 for the intersection traffic signal, and that is in the budget to go in this summer. To be fair to everybody, there's about $30,000 to $35,000 worth of design for that intersection. We've asked Mr. Windmiller to pick up that cost.
Mm-hmm.
So, and since we own the northeast corner, we're going to take care of our due diligence and actually put the rest of the intersection in.
So Crow Creek Road will not continue directly to the west behind the properties that are at the very bottom of the screen.
It's and that was looked at both when Wyndham West came in, mm-hmm, and with this one. If you're familiar with the territory, the farther west you go, it's a very deep drop off there, and unless you had a significant amount of fill, you wouldn't be able to extend that road much farther than is shown on this graphic.
Okay, procedurally, refresh me where we're at. And we've got several cases in front of us. Are we on 16007 at this point? Are we to the recommendation? What you kind of started there, and we got into some formally informal discussion there.
Is Greg through this presentation?
That's where I'm going. I'm looking at Greg.
You're at right now where the land use portion of the agenda is, and that would be the first thing that would be coming forward, is to make a motion and then vote on each one of those particular items and then go to the rezonings.
Do we have? Yeah, I know. Right, right. And are there any other questions or comments from the commission? Okay. So at this point, then, anyone in the audience with regard to this case, any component of it? Because I think we'll probably be looking at the addressing them one by one. So anyone in the audience?
Hello, Reed Wimmiller, Wimmiller Design, Wimmiller Development. First, I'd like to thank the commission for taking their time out of their other lives to hear our cases. I'd like to start out say that as a developer for 30 years and here in the city of Bettendorf, we've heard we've been a first for a lot of things, and we're being a first again tonight. It looks like we were the first developer to put in detention ponds, so we led the way on that. We also have been the first to do a revision on the detention ponds, which will be coming up here pretty soon, where we've taken a detention pond and made it more of a park area. And we always like being the first. It provides a challenge, but we like to lead the way for the future of Bettendorf. As we were talking about the berms, we have also kind of been the first to do that as well out in Copper Ridge on the corner of Devil's Glen and Forest Grove. We have they're around 12 feet tall, 10 to 12 feet tall, so they will be bigger than what you see out there. We have taken those berms, and they are more of a natural area. They provide their low maintenance for both the homeowners and for the environment. They are a prairie grass and also have lots of trees on them. That will be the continued theme that you will see out here in this new development to separate us from both the roads and the commercial areas. Do you have any questions for me as I stand up here?
Any questions for Reed? At this point, thanks for being first on this one as well. So we appreciate that. It looks like a nice development. So thank you, Reed.
Thank you.
Reed, I do have, excuse me, one question.
Sure.
Would you build those berms as part of the commercial development or as part of the residential development?
They're actually going to sit on the lot lines, so they'll be both.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Yep.
Anyone else in the audience? Okay, seeing none, we'll return to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 16007. That's a land use amendment.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16007, land use amendment subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 16077 passes.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 16008. That's the land use amendment from office transitional to and traditional residential to the high density residential.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16008, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. 16008 passes.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move. Are we going to have the rezoning discussion, or are we just going to go right into?
You still have one motion, or don't you? Or oh no, you don't. You can have that. I think talking about the rezoning from the conditional standpoint and any other things that might be thrown in would be appropriate right now.
Yeah, just for clarification, it would be conditional rezoning to the C1 and the R5, but not the R2. The R2 is consistent with the current land use, so there are no conditions on that case.
Okay, sorry. So
the area that's in the middle of the screen right now doesn't need our attention because it's already compliant for what they want to do.
The yellow is being petitioned
right
for rezoning, and that one is compliant with our current land use map.
Okay.
So it's just the pink and the orange that are the conditional rezoning.
The area outside of the highlighted areas will remain A1 at this point in time.
Okay. But the concept plan is for that to go residential, even right, though we're not discussing that tonight.
Right.
Given that, Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 16009, the rezoning of from A1 to C1 as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16009 from A1 to C1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 009 is approved. Okay.
I'll further move case 16010 also be approved. This is rezoning the area from A1 to R2 as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16010 from A1 to R2 as submitted. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 16010 is approved. You're on a roll.
All right, I'll move we approve case 16011, rezoning from A1 to R5, the multifamily district, again as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16011 from A1 to R5 as submitted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. It's approved. Okay, Windmill and Development, you're off and going.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to add a comment that as we went through this whole process of looking at land use and a new plan and how we're going to adopt these new zoning designations, the reservation I had through the whole thing was, but no one ever comes to us with a big project. And so I kind of feel like if we build it, they will come. I mean, we put this together, it was conceptualized, and now we have exactly what falls into the parameters of the new plan. So I was really excited to see this, and I'm excited to see it continue to move forward.
Agreed. Okay, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, the site we have before us tonight is a site that's been preliminarily and final platted in the past. However, the site was attempted to be replatted in about 2007, and the plat was never recorded. The preliminary, I believe, did come before the body here, but since then there's been a number of changes that have ensued, especially in regards to the site. Here is access is off of State Street, and you have the East Fork of Pigeon Creek, the West Fork of Pigeon Creek on either side of the site. A portion of it up here has since been deeded to this property owner from what was in the Fields addition. And also there has been some excavation that has taken place in the interim. There's currently a business located here. The entirety, though, of the area outlined here in purple is the area that is being discussed and potentially set up for purchase by the petitioner. When this came before the Planning and Zoning Commission about 10 years ago, it was Fields 2 second edition, and it included this area here on either side of the east and west forks of Pigeon Creek north of State Street. And the contours at that time showed the area in a natural state that had been undisturbed. The boundaries, again, were the same, except for lot one being conveyed to the landscaping business here. And this is what the final plat showed. This is the existing final plat as Fields 2 second edition. So this is the plat that is in control right now regarding easements. This is what's being proposed as Port's first edition preliminary plat. And you'll have a means of entry coming in from State Street with a cul-de-sac and then exiting back out, street width being 31 feet paved with the standards that are required for an industrial area for the pavement design. And then you'll have the existing business or building structured here. And then additionally, these lots here being parsed out, and essentially what you're going to be looking at, the concept that's coming forward at some point is going to be similar to what we see at Beartooth Court. So it's going to be these condominium-type construction facilities that we've seen, and not just in our community, but many others. And you still have many delineations here. The contours are reflective of the fill that is necessary, that will be necessary for the actual site overall, and then of what is existing. And then, of course, we have the contours for both of the creek areas. And then there are certain things that have been conditioned in the report as well regarding the FEMA requirements for making sure that all of the structures, that the pads or the areas that they be built upon, will be removed by the standards that are within our current city ordinances. This gives you an idea of where the 100-year flood boundary was prior to the excavation of the area and on the existing map or plat. And then, of course, the other work that will be done to make sure that those structures are compliant with our platting and as well site plan standards and our FEMA requirements that we've just updated. Staff, in reviewing the plat, recommends approval. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission?
Yes, I have one question, Greg. On this screen that you're showing us right now, immediately to the south of lot 8, is that what is that going to be? It's not called an outlot. It's not what's happening there?
You mean over in this area to
the right of that?
Oh,
between that lot and
this is I believe highway. A part this is one whole lot, I think.
That's all part of lot 8.
Okay. So it's just the topography that makes it look.
Yes, the way the would grade this with these proposed grade lines right in here.
All right.
Just to clarify on that, that'll just be a drainage area. It's just kind of a low-lying area there.
Okay.
Greg, one of the things I know I've struggled with on a lot of the developments along there are the parking spaces available for the size of the building. So, for example, I look at the building footprint for lot 5 back in the cul-de-sac, and from a practical standpoint, minimal area potentially to park in front given the setbacks and the curbing, I'm assuming, and things. From a practical standpoint, are we ending up with, and these a couple of them are really small, 0.7 acres, is there enough to put a building on and have requisite parking?
Well, whoever purchases the lot will have to meet all setback and parking requirements. So these are just concepts. I think what someone was attempting to do is to show what maybe structures, different sizes could be placed upon these lots, but they don't reflect the parking, the paving that's necessary, and utilities, things of that nature. I don't think that this was intended in any way to even be a concept. The only thing, I mean, the pads or whatever, these squares and rectangles really are not relevant until we get to the site development plan stage. I don't know what the purpose was or the intent was to put those on there, but they don't represent any type of concept per se that we're introducing here.
I mean, it's up to the developer to sell them, but they seem like they're awful small lots.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's their responsibility to convey it as such, or else replat it if it that concept won't work.
Yeah.
And our responsibility to make sure that they meet all of our ordinance requirements
right
when they come through for site plan.
Starting a little tough with the size of some of those lots. So, okay. It's the only question I had. Anyone else from the commission?
Looks like there's a little bit of fill outside of that area that was excavated. I'm assuming that's in the flood zone or maybe the floodway. Is that area to the right to make up for that? Kind of the area we were discussing before.
You mean up
it
here?
Comes in, the drainage area. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You'd have to probably talk to one of our engineers or maybe the engineer who did the project. So.
Yeah, McClure, who is the site representative, is here, but I do believe that is the borrow area.
Okay.
So they're borrowing the dirt from there, and that'll also provide the compensatory filling in the floodplain.
Lauren Raines with McClure, is what that is. Actually, we have to swap out drainable area. So if we put fill on the outside of that light blue line, then we have to make up for it on somewhere else in that floodplain. So basically what we're doing is any fill that goes in on the lots that are going to be usable on 5, 6, 7, 8, then that's going to be the same volume for water storage. So that way we're not going to put any more pressure on those box culverts going underneath 67.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Anyone else in the commission? Okay, anyone in the audience have input with regard to this case? Are they leaving or participating?
In a minute.
Let's see.
Yeah, I think they're
going. Don't think so, they're going. Okay. Anyone in the audience? No? Last call. Back to the commission.
I do have one question.
Yeah.
On these, I don't want to call them a berm, but the way you've got the area built up, you've built them up about 6 feet, it looks like. Is that too steep to mow or maintain? I mean, some of them look fairly steep.
They are all 3-to-1 slopes.
3-to-1?
Actually, that's the steepest that we have.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Anyone else, commission or the audience? Can I have a motion then?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 16-012, the Port's First Edition preliminary plat.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve case 16-012, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 16-012 is approved. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, the next case involves a parcel that is somewhat infill, and it's been rather difficult to work with given the nature of the size of the parcel and the topography surrounding it. Forest View Villas is accessible from 53rd Avenue. Over here you have further Devil's Glen Road, and you have Barcelona over in this direction. And originally this had been platted in a different configuration. You have a stormwater detention area here, and this is parsed out as 8 lots. What the petitioner is attempting to do is take and consolidate those 8 lots, as shown here in the orange, into a 6-lot configuration, and then taking approximately 5 feet of what is a stormwater outlot area and adding it to the lots that are going to be platted. In doing so, there isn't really any real encroachment to outlot. It sets up a setback mechanism for the unit that would be here, and also gives the proper square footage to this lot. And all of these lots have a minimum width per ordinance of 45 feet. The two down here, one is 46, the other is 48, and the reason for that is to get the necessary square footage, because as you draw this straight line here and you have this incline here, if all these lots were equal in footage, or I should say frontage, then these would be substandard as to the overall square footage of the lot. So that's why those two are a little bit larger in their width. One of the big problems with this subdivision was the deterioration and the runoff here that was never addressed in the original plan, and that's running down into the stormwater detention basin and creating what we see here at the end of Cherrywood Drive, all this scouring that goes on into that detention basin. Well, as part of the agreement, the developer is going to place an intake area here with manhole cover to take this down to the basin, into that detention basin down to the bottom, to eliminate a great deal of that erosion. And that's part of the agreement of this development. What you see in end here is this area being remediated for intake of stormwater, that going to outlot A, and then the 8 lots being essentially turned into these 6 lots that meet our square footage standards and as well as the width standards for each of these lots, so that there is a development that may occur as infill in this area. And would there have been many people who've approached this site? This is the first design that actually ever incorporated our design standards per our ordinances that actually met those standards. And the fact also that the developer is willing to try to remediate this problem here has proved helpful. Staff, in looking at this, would make a recommendation for approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask you, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission.
Greg, can you go back to the aerial slide that you had? Thank you. It's a really unique lack of configuration between this development and the one immediately to the east. And there's already two existing units here, the two properties that are on Cherrywood. How will the new units match up or mix in with the two units that are already there? Is it going to be?
There could be certain standards that are already incorporated into covenants that would make sure maybe that the coloring of the materials or the type of materials are at least to the same standard as those of the existing units. And that would be the governance of the ownership committee, whoever that might be. And since the property is not yet conveyed there, that would be between the developer and the existing ownership body, which owns these two, or these
four.
Two duplex units, the four of them. Essentially, that's where that would most likely be handled, as it is in every case typically with newer development. There is a architectural committee or a group of ownership committee, homeowners association, that has sway over that, and they determine what is permitted and what isn't in terms of the materials that are used.
But in addition to that, the plan is to create properties that are similar to what's already there?
If not similar, probably more, I would say maybe larger, but in some ways these lots, the way they're laid out, I believe are actually less dense, because what you have in the original here is 3387 and 30 here for lot widths, and what you're doing is you're essentially taking these existing lots, and then all of a sudden you're taking what were eight of these, and now you're taking them and bringing it down to a total of six, so you're getting more land per each of these units than you had originally.
Okay. So on each of these six lots, there will be a duplex unit?
It's zero lot line.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll straddle each pair of lots. And the intent with the developer, I've had conversations with him, is he wants to build bigger units because the other ones really didn't have the square footage that encourage people to come in and continue with mm-hmm. the same type of development.
Okay. Yeah. All right, thank you.
So the rear yard in that area there is only 5 feet?
That was a provision from a Board of Adjustment case. And if you look at the topography in the area, the reason that that was granted is the difficult nature of the piece and the way it was zoned. It was a remnant that had been left over from some type of road construction acquisition, I believe, for 53rd Avenue. But the area in back has immediate drop-off. And if we go back to the aerial photo, this land drops off to the point where, in terms of anybody building anything in here, and given the vegetative nature of the area in back, it's very unlikely anybody would ever attempt to build something back here. I mean, there's some areas that drop off 25, 30 feet from where this boundary is right here. And essentially, you're not going to see people building homes there. So they felt that in order to encourage development in this parcel, that the board would grant a variance to reduce this by 20 feet to a 5-foot setback. But it's the very unique character of this parcel that led them, and looking at what was surrounding it, to come up to that judgment level to say that that should have been granted as a hardship. And that's something we want noted on the plat as well, that that's there so that people buying this understand the arrangement about where the configuration can go, how far back it might go.
And we're not approaching any kind of coverage constraint then by the time you get in
there? No, because when we look at it in totality, the way these units would be laid out, when we ran the totals before, when the initial development came in, they were substantially below, because we incorporate the entirety of the whole area in looking at that density.
Fire marshal question. I don't see our hammerhead turnaround. Is this too short to worry about? But I still worry about your trucks over there.
We've had some discussion about that, and it's an existing parcel that, and it's not real long. It would be preferred, but due to the topography and everything else, it's not possible.
Mm-hmm. Where have you got fire plugs over there then?
I don't know if I have a...
Can tell that
or not.
Don't see any.
There might be one there.
Well, the other, and Greg, can you go back to that shot again, just from a practical standpoint? I see the swale in the back, the entrance, yeah. And of the existing unit, and that swale. Are you going to be into the swale with the back of the, I mean, when you go 5 feet to the property line, judging from the aerial where the property line is in relation there, it looks like you're going to be building through the swale. I mean, if you have a 5 yard or 5 foot setback.
You're going to be seeing these as walkouts, just like the existing structures.
And the flow is going to the east then?
The flow is going this direction.
Man, it looks like you're going to put a house right in the middle of the flow.
Greg, can you bring up the preliminary site plan sheet that you have on there? You can see the contours that you're talking about. That swale runs to about in between building 8 and 9 and then actually heads off to the north. So if they stick with this, basically this same building configuration, it'll be right along the backside, and then it eventually takes off and works its way down to Crow Creek.
Okay.
So the detention area is more from the road.
Yeah, the detention area is picking up both their road, and you can actually see it's picking up storm sewer coming directly off 53rd as well. And that is one... other erosion concern that we are having them address that you could see on Greg's, the pictures he took from Cherrywood. We have not only the erosion from the end of Cherrywood, we also have some pretty significant erosion coming off of that intake from 53rd. There was a portion of that storm sewer that was on the original plan that was never constructed, and they have agreed to finish that construction as well.
Well, and let me touch on that for a minute, too, because, number one, it looks like it was freshly groomed there for a picture, kind of like get your hair cut for your school picture. But so I'm hearing that it wasn't done as it was agreed to in the first place. So, frankly, what's going to make us think it's going to get done this time?
I will not issue any building permits until it's... I hear from Mr. Morlock that he's satisfied with the corrections.
Yeah, we will have our we'll have a construction inspector out there when they're doing that work, and they're also going to submit an as-built survey of the detention basin to ensure that it has the volume required.
Yeah,
which is also something we're adding into our stormwater ordinance going forward. An actual physical survey. You know, currently I think it's just a certification that they have to provide, and it's going to be an actual physical survey with contours that they'll have to provide.
And there's an ongoing agreement to or requirement to maintain there, keep weeds down and things like that?
Well, there currently is one that exists. It hasn't worked real well within the association.
Is the developer still in control of the association?
Developer's probably going to have controlling interest because he owns the majority of the property now.
So the developer's been the guy maybe not maintaining it. Okay, when I see that and I see the erosion and the fact that we've not gotten it taken care of, not we, us the city, but it's not been taken care of, then I come in and ask for something to be done and it's not been done, that doesn't sit so well. So glad to hear we're going to put some teeth in that. So
part of the situation, the original developer that developed the property and built the first two units passed away, and his wife is left
things happen.
Being in charge of things, and she doesn't, okay. I think, he was an engineer, she's not, so that's probably how things have deteriorated a bit over the years.
So overall, things will be better when we get through this. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, great, thanks. Anyone else in the commission?
And Mr. Chairman, back to the hydrant. There is a fire hydrant existing in the entrance to this property or this area near the bike, the recreation trail there.
Okay.
Which meets the distance requirements.
Good, good. Thanks for that. Anyone else in the audience? Anyone in the commission regarding this?
Right, you have somebody here.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. My name's Ray Palzinski, and as long as you have that picture up, I live in one of the villas that you see on the end of Villa Court there, and I'm the president of that homeowners association. And yes, Steve, I was going to tell you the hydrant is at the entrance of Cedarwood because we walk by it all the time. That's good. I have to say, I'm very impressed with the commission because I think you guys are clairvoyant. Your analogy of getting your hair cut for the picture of that retention pond is mainly the reason that I showed up tonight. Our neighbors that live in the building, the very southernmost unit you see there on Villa Court, are out of town, and they asked us to just come and share the information that that retention pond has not really ever been cared for. If you look at the retention pond on Villa Court that we maintain, it's mowed and sprinklered. We actually water the goofy thing and take care of it and mow it. That's been mowed twice in the almost 4 years that we've lived here. And you're absolutely correct. It's not been very well maintained. It fills with garbage. The water sits there and it's stagnant. It hasn't been taken care of. So I just wanted to share that piece of information, not necessarily complain, but in the hopes that if this development does go forward and these new homes come in, the person that's going to get the lot right next to that probably isn't going to want it to be left like it has been for the last several years. But being that we are the neighbors back there, we have no issues with that. It's not a problem. We really like that land that's back there that's actually zoned to be a farm. The gentleman that owns it's a super nice guy, and we just basically wanted to come and let you know that from an association standpoint, the maintenance of that retention pond has always been something that's bothered us, but there's really not been much of an issue with only two people there. There wasn't much of an association to talk to. So
understood. Yeah.
I'm very much appreciative of your observations of the maintenance of that, and if they're going to fix the catch basins that dump into there off of 53rd and fix that erosion on Cherrywood, I think it'll be a pleasable or palatable thing to have between both of our neighborhoods.
Yeah, and when it looks good, people like to live there. When it doesn't, they don't. So that's a good thing, and it's on our radar over here now, so good. Okay, appreciate your comments. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we approve case number 15-082. Final plat, subject to staff recommendations.
A second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 15-082, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. 15-082 is approved. Great. Okay. I think that takes us to bill and updates.
Mr. Chairman, subsequent to your last meeting, the City Council did approve the vacation of the unused right-of-way for Hopewell Avenue. Because all the good work you did in 2015, we thought we'd give you last month off. So.
Thanks. With pay, too?
Yes, same pay.
Okay, same pay. Yeah. All right, great. All right, so anything else for the good of the order? A motion to adjourn? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we're adjourned.